And welcome back to the Petcash Pod presented by Profluence Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Petcash. You can listen to all the great conversations within the world of sports. We have investors, athletes, founders, and executives on. Today, we had an awesome one with Mohit Parikh. He is one of the main people heading up Drake Star and their sports tech reports. We break down Q4 2024 and some of the insights of what they're looking for into the future this year. Tons of great insights. And I mean, these are the ones where just ingest the data, ingest the insights, rewind it, go listen to it again, and enjoy it. It's fun. Sports is an amazing place. I'm happy and appreciative of you being here. So without further ado, let's dive in. Mohit, appreciate you hopping on today. Been really excited for this one. Drake Star, some of the best reports in the game. We're going to go through that today. But before we begin, would love to just explore your background a little bit, how you ended up here, what you guys are doing, and then we can dive into the juice and some of the it's all exciting, but some of the more exciting stuff.
Oh, thank you, Andrew, and thanks for having me here and for your kind words on Drake Star. I'll give you a little bit on Drake Star and a little bit on myself. So starting with Drake Star, we are a global investment bank that does only and only tech and digital media deals. So very, very specialized bank globally in our practice, do a lot of middle market and lower middle market, M&A transactions and growth financings, 100 plus people across US, Europe and Asia. New York is our HQ. I'm here in LA with a few other people, and then we have people located in San Francisco, London, Paris, Munich, Berlin, and Geneva. So pretty widespread, do everything in technology. I focus a lot more on sports, gaming, and media. That's where I've been spending all my time over the last 14 years into the industry, very deep into the space from a sports technology standpoint. Last year, executed 4 transactions where I led the deals. One of them was live streaming into the sports and gaming vertical called Lightstream. We sold them to Exola. Did an audio technology company called Nura that we sold to Sound United that was bought by $1 billion for $1 billion by Massimo. And then a couple of gaming adjacent gaming companies into the space that are very, very prolific games and a large portfolio. Some of the landmark deals sold Spiketrap to Reddit. So that's more into contextual AI into the sports and media category. So probably sold an AI company a year too early before it became a big buzzword. Then sold Actar to Zynga, Take-Two, Fresh Planet to Vivendi, Gameloft, and then Wild Mocha to Backlight, which is one of the sports-focused media streaming platforms owned by PSG, one of the prominent private equity players out of Boston.
Love that.
And I've been with the firm for 9 years and overall 14 plus years into, advisory roles.
Yeah. And when did you start at Drake Star putting together these sports reports, and what was the sort of idea and basis behind them? Because I do believe they're some of the best in the industry, and I know you put a lot of time in it, right? We're already into the third month of the year and we're just now getting the full 2023 report with a lot of great insights.
Oh, it's a great question. And I think a lot of that, is stemming from the fact that we are one of the only banks who look at sports technology as a vertical. So while there are, banks who do sports and there are banks who do media, I think we coming at the intersection of sports and media from a technology standpoint is something that we are very unique in that respect. So while we have been executing transactions in the space for over the years, I think we never really saw someone putting together their thoughts around how big is this market, from a technology standpoint in sports, and how do you really see this market growing from a, M&A standpoint, from, financing standpoint? Who should you go to if you are a sports technology company touching whether a fan side or an athlete side or a, management side of the industry? Who do you go and raise that capital? Who are these investors? How do you really value your company? Who do you go to sell your company? Who are the prominent strategics that are buying into the space? Who are the, prominent financial sponsors that are operating in the space? And, who are the VCs, whether it's from an early to late stage standpoint or a seed capital standpoint, that are active in the space, and you can go and, you know, pitch your ideas and get the capital to fund it. So that really kind of provoked us to come up with something that we felt was very, very personal to us from a day-to-day standpoint. So we wanted to kind of share our perspective on the market to really help the community to get some of these insights. And hopefully, you know, we can also grow with it. So that's really mm-hmm. was the idea behind it. I think we started doing this back in 2022 when we were doing more of a monthly updates to the market. And then we collectively decided as a team that, hey, we need to come up with a more, you know, substantial insights on the space, and perhaps doing it quarterly gets you the, you know, the ideas and also the data to really come out with very, you know, very, very specialized thoughts about this space. So that's really, we started doing them on a quarterly basis by end of 22. Okay. And since then, I think we have been doing it quarterly, getting a lot of love in the space. So, you know, assuming people are liking it mm-hmm. and a lot of publications cover it, and, you know, people like you who are always big expertise in the space, and you guys kind of have nice words to say about it, you know, makes it very, very satisfying.
Well, yeah, it's great too, because you take a different angle from it. You know, you have a lot of analysts and investment bank people on it, and you just, you go maybe a little more broad too. Sometimes we, because we're so deep in the weeds that sometimes, you know, it's good to take a step back. And so it's always nice just to see that report and someone that's not just in sports, but like you said, you're in gaming and tech as a whole. So it's always good to have that, like, of course, in it, but also a little bit outside to give different perspectives. Now, we have pulled up here. Now, obviously, everyone listening isn't going to be able to see this, but we're going through the report, and you know, we're gonna talk through it. Obviously, it's all linked and stuff for anyone to see, whether it's on the newsletter, websites, or at drakestar.com in their sports tech reports. But you know, what did 2023 look like? It was a record deal making year. There was a lot going on. Love for you to sort of dive in, and we can pick and choose where we go with it. But there's a lot of important things to talk about here.
No, I think you bring a very valid point. And, you know, as we review through this report, which will be out soon, I think sports tech as a vertical has seen tremendous growth over the last couple of years. So while, you know, obviously COVID gave a big boost to the tech industry overall, we have started to see some of that momentum kind of, you know, declining as the world opens up, and, you know, there are global economic challenges and whatnot. But sports tech, or sports as an industry, has grown leaps and bounds. And that's very evident in how the deal making has evolved. So for 2023, we are looking at a deal value of over $37 billion in terms of M&A and in financing and public market transaction in the space through over 1,100 deals over the whole year. And that includes a lot of large M&A deals. You know, we talk about WWE, Endeavor, we talk about CA, Artemis, and we talk about a lot of, you know, other deals in the space where Intain is picking up a lot of, you know, consolidating the space, Better Collective, Playmaker. I think there's a lot of momentum in the space. From a financing standpoint, we saw a lot of activity. I know the market has been a little bit of a mixed sentiment wise, but I think we saw a lot of momentum in the space with 14 large financings. And when you say large, it means 100 million plus transactions, and a lot of new capital has been raised in the space. So 2023 alone, we saw 7 billion and more, you know, funds being raised by these financial sponsors and VCs to really put that into the space in next couple of years. So large momentum and a lot of deal making.
Yeah, when you look at the deals that got done, and we'll just focus on the M&A to start, but is there any commonality between the types of acquirers or even the niches within sports? And, you know, obviously we brought up WWE, that's more a league, CAA, that's more an agency. And then you mentioned some of the betting ones. Do you see sort of commonality, or what is the insights as you start to dive more into the categories within sports of these M&A deals?
No, that's again a great question, and I want to just take you through the chronology of M&A events over the years. So 2021, we are looking at, you know, close to 10 billion plus in transactions. Then 2022, you see another very similar number of, you know, deal making in terms of dollar value, in terms of number of deals. 2023, kind of a breakout year where you see more than 300 M&A deals producing over 25 billion in transaction value. And, you know, this is only for the disclosed deals. So I think the deal value could have been even larger if you include some of these deals where we don't have deal value, like a Liban getting the Ares deal. I think that's a pretty solid deal value. I think we just don't know publicly. So I think that could have been even bigger one. And coming from a trend standpoint, you know, we kind of look at the market from, you know, different segment standpoint. So media and broadcasting, there's a lot that has happened in the space over the last year or so with, you know, all the fangs getting into sports, you know, these big media streaming deals being done. And that market has always been one of the most active ones where you see a lot of momentum. So media and broadcasting really stepped up this year. Fan engagement, I know this is something that we have been talking about for over the years. I think that's gaining momentum. The companies are still kind of, you know, more into the development stages, you know, getting from a mid to, you know, slightly big companies, but they're not too big operators out there from a fan engagement standpoint. So that market is evolving. I think variables and performance enhancement, I think we have some of the bigger players in that space. So that segment has seen great deal making. And fantasy and betting, I think that market has always been very, very acquisitive. A lot of consolidation has happened. All the big strategics are either trying to geographically expand or trying to get to new markets. I mean, one of the latest deals that we saw was, you know, Jack Pocket was picked up by DraftKings for $750 million. So that tells you the continued momentum in that space. So overall, there is momentum everywhere, but I would say fantasy and betting and media and performance enhancement has been the big segments. And fan engagement is more of an emerging growth category where we will see more and more activity as we go through 24 and 25.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like a lot of consolidation coming in the betting world, which, like you mentioned, is already starting to happen early 2024. That was going to be my next question of, you know, how do you see this momentum carrying? Do you see 24 being potentially even more than the $37 billion in deal value in 2023? Do you see it maybe not as much, but more deals? What sort of, at least from the first 2 months, because I'm sure you're already tracking that as well. Well, 3 months now, you know, what are you sort of seeing in the early as we're almost through the first quarter of 24?
No, I mean, I'm very bullish about the market. I think 2023, while the tech industry saw kind of a little bit of a, you know, flattish less decline in deal making, I think sports tech has been one of the only industries which has actually grown in terms of deal activity. And I continue to see a strong momentum in the space. I know the public markets have been a little bit challenging, but as the market is improving, the IPO market is coming back. And then overall, I think people are more and more open to deal making and the valuation expectations are converging between, you know, what the founders are looking for versus what the strategics or the financial sponsors are willing to pay. I think I see 24 becoming a kind of a breakthrough year in the space where we will see a lot more consolidation. Some of the key themes like AI ticketing, fan engagement, I think they are gaining more and more momentum. I mean, people are more excited about the whole fan journey rather than just having them buy a ticket and go to a stadium. That's going to change a lot in terms of how people look at the industry. AI coming in with a lot of content creation, becoming a much more seamless process, and going to see a lot more of those companies raising a lot of capital, as well as some of the bigger guys picking up some of these emerging growth companies in those spaces.
I'm with you on a lot of that, especially the AI and the fan journey. And I think there's tie-in between a lot of it. And I think we're also, even in the early innings in some place, of there's people jumping from traditional tech or from traditional media in to try and innovate and make sports better. So we might even see a lag effect there where it's going to take a few years for some of these really advanced and, you know, mature, there will be mature companies come out of that. While we're on 24, you also have an investors to watch in 24. curious on, you know, you have from early stages to late stages to more M&A groups, more PE, you sort of cover it all. You know, what goes into your selection process and how you, you know, analyze who's going to an investor to watch in 2024?
No, I think it's a very thoughtful question. And I think when we look at the market, we kind of segment the industry into three types of financial investors / buyers. So there is a financial, you know, sponsors that are leading some of the bigger companies in the space. When you talk about Bruin Capital, you talk about Redbird, you talk about Bain, you talk about Ares and CVC, Blackstone. These are, you know, the heavyweights in the industry where perhaps some of them are more specialized into the sports vertical than the others, but they own, you know, some of the bigger enterprises in the space, leading this market from that high level standpoint. And then there is a venture capital perspective where you look at, you know, some early to late stage investors that are investing in a little bit more mature companies than, you know, a very early stage seed round of capital. And then there is the whole seed capital stage, which is, I think, in my opinion, perhaps, you know, the most interesting for us, where we see some of these highly, highly specialized, you know, funds that are deep into the space, have the expertise, and are looking to fund these ideas that are going to be, you know, very big in coming years. So, I mean, you also operate a fund on the seed stage or early stage side. So, and obviously deep into the space, I mean, I think the expertise, it doesn't need any mention, but how do you guys look at the space at this point? And, you know, what are some of the key themes that you guys are focused on? And how do you characterize some of these companies before you take a decision saying, I'm going to put my money onto this one?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I appreciate you pushing it back to me. And also, first, before I even answer that, you know, just it's an honor and thank you for, you know, Profluence Capital being on that investor to watch list. Obviously, we've put in a lot of work to get there in several years and a lot of, you know, sweat, blood, tears, but, you know, and hopefully it's just the beginning. But we look at it from two lanes, and sort of to what you said is there's these different types of investors in the sports lane. So you have more of the private equity side and some of those Redbirds, like you said, and CVC, and they're focused on putting large sums of money into potentially sometimes just small stakes for pro sports teams or sometimes, you know, large deals in the sports companies. And then you have your more traditional sports tech firms, which can be VC and go from early stage seed, like an accelerator, all the way to, you know, some of that Series A, Series B. And so we looked at the space from the standpoint of, okay, we've built this expertise and thought leadership from a media platform. Can we bring in these top investment people and build our investment unit looking at a mixture of both, but from an emerging lens? So looking at those emerging sports IP from teams, leagues, events, agencies, NIL, media, right? And then also tying in the sports tech together. So sort of sitting in between everything else that's out there in the market and using our own platform as an advantage. And again, there's a lot of things that excite us. And just looking at our portfolio, you know, a USL team that's an emerging soccer league in the US with World Cup coming, there's a lot of good momentum there. Prep Super League, the founder built the USFL, so he knows how to build leagues, now doing it in high school. We see a lot of downstream movement, so we have a lot of interest there. And then on the sports tech side, some great companies there as well. So yeah, I mean, that's, without going too deep, we could go on a whole nother podcast about that. That's a little bit how we think about it. And, you know, it's great to be recognized that you sort of see how we're doing it as well and trying to do it in an innovative way. But yeah, it's a fun time to be in the space for sure.
Yeah, no, great job on all those investments. And I know those are the most tricky one, instead of putting 100 million, you know, into already profitable high growth company. So great job, and look forward to much more coming in from you guys and covering that for you.
Exactly. And so something we always have our eye on too is, who are the buyers? So I think that's the natural next question of, who are some buyers to watch in 2024? And that's more obviously from the strategic side. And that can be, that can feed a little bit into private equity, but who are you anticipating some people to, and you mentioned DraftKings already made a big move. So who else is looking to get active in that space?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think perhaps one that people are, you know, asking us every day. If you look at the market, different categories have different kinds of strategics. So I would say in 2024, everyone is back onto the table saying, hey, we want to see more deals. So from that standpoint, I think everyone should be paying attention to, you know, what some of these strategics in the space are talking and thinking about. And I would say, just taking you back to the league table we produce, I think it tells you about the different segments within the industry and some of the leading acquirers in the space who have a thesis around, you know, where they are looking to acquire companies. Better Collective, Intain, you know, these guys obviously very heavy on the sports betting side or you know, betting and, you know, gaming, gambling side. So they have been very, very acquisitive. Intain has been doing a lot of geographical expansion. I mean, you can put DraftKings in there. They have been not only investing in smaller, you know, early stage companies, but also have been acquiring companies in this space. Fanatics, again, they acquired four companies in 2023. They touch upon all the segments. So they are perhaps, you know, the one strategic that is always got my attention saying, you know, what's next for them. I think there's a lot of angles they have into the sports industry, touching upon all the way from merchandising all the way to content. So they are very important endeavor. You know, obviously the biggest acquisition for 2023 goes to them. You can always say, is it a league? Is it a tech company? Every league is a tech company at this point, you know, because you are doing a lot of content creation, a lot of tech innovation goes into how you reach your audience. So I know there are rumors about Silver Lake, you know, looking at options. And I think we will see some good stuff coming out of it, I think, this year. And, you know, you look at some of the other companies like, you know, Liberty Media, look at, you know, Teamworks, you look at Team Snap, you know, they are doing great amount of work on the team management side. You know, Team Snap just acquired Mojo, which I think is a fantastic acquisition for them. Teamworks, backed by, you know, guys at Dragoneer, they have been super acquisitive, taking some of these small scale companies and figuring out their go-to-market strategy. So I would say they are also a very interesting player. So I think there is a lot of momentum in this space. And I would say some of these private equity firms in, you know, Bruin Capital, they have been, you know, one of the prominent ones. And they have the pulse on the market, whether you talk about fan side or you talk about the agency side of the industry. They've already acquired another agency in 2024. They kind of offloaded their stake in Two Circles to Charterhouse. So that was another big, big exit for them. So I think they will continue to be highly acquisitive. Redbird Capital, another big name. They have a bunch of properties in the space. They have been super acquisitive. CVC, they just acquired, you know, a gaming company from JackX for $1.1 billion. And they have always been in the sports industry, starting from owning Formula One all the way to some of the big players in the space. So I think we would see some bigger deals coming from them. I mean, I can keep talking about all the players, and I feel like they all have the appetite and also the intent to really look at some of the interesting deals in the space in 2024.
No, it's great insight. And I appreciate you going through them, because even just hearing it, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about them. So it was good to rehash it. I'm curious, and you talked about the public markets a little bit earlier. There are, you know, a lot of people don't know, there's a decent amount of sports companies that have hit the public markets, and even actually some professional teams. Part of our thesis, even at Profluence Capital, is we're going to see more and more of that over time, whether it's, you know, rolling up a lot of properties and IPOing them. But, you know, what does that look like at the end of 23? And then obviously today, as we're rolling through 24 now.
Yeah, no, 23 has been a mixed year for public markets. I think we saw a lot of pressure on all these public companies in terms of performance, you know, the stock prices being, you know, not subdued during the year. I think the ARM IPO really brought the sentiment to the tech market, where they obviously were super successful with the IPO. So that kind of saw a lot of these companies eyeing for the IPO market back again. So Wilson, you know, Wilson owners, Amber Sport, they went public in 2023. That's when the, you know, we talk about Lottomatica, you know, they are more into the sports betting side and online gambling. I think they went public. And then, you know, Keen out of China, they're more of a fitness platform. They went public. I think they also a little bit of downward pressure on their stock prices, but I think they were very successful in, you know, going public, at least raising that capital and having built that online, build that public platform for their enterprise, which gives them access to capital markets like never seen before. Mm-hmm. And 2024, I think, is going to be another year where we'll see a lot more activity in the public markets. As things start to improve towards the second half of the year, we will see some more companies that are IPO ready. I don't want to speculate and give you some names here, but I think there are companies who are looking at going public towards the second half of the year. I mean, yes, you probably already have seen Reddit filing for an IPO and having a very interesting way to go to market, giving shares to, you know, people on their platform. So I think that name says enough about, you know, who else can go to market in 2024, as they have been kind of waiting since towards the end of 2022 to really find the right momentum to go public. So we will see a lot more activity. I think as the market will improve, we will see a lot more, you know, momentum towards the M&A side, because what one thing I feel is, you know, no buyer is going to pay you more than that they are valued at. And then if there is an appetite in the market to really grow and bring that growth or EBITDA creative businesses, I think they will really push the M&A market if the stocks, you know, continue to get more and more in the interesting area.
Good insight. And we haven't touched on it. I think it's important. We should probably touch it or talk about it a little bit. But I mean, I know you have it on the list, Surge Investments, which is really, you know, just an extension of Saudi Arabia and their wealth fund, Qatar, or Qatar, however you pronounce it. I know people do it different ways, but that whole ecosystem is fascinating. You know, what from a like a wealth fund perspective have you seen over the last year? I'm sure you have that baked into some of your data as well, and then leading into 24.
Yeah, no, I think you bring in a very interesting perspective, and thank you for bringing that up. I almost didn't talk about it. So, you know, PIF out of Saudi, they have been the most active in the space, not only from a team standpoint or a league standpoint, but also investing into adjacent markets like gaming or sports. So they picked up Faceit last year. They put in money into Wispo earlier 2023. They acquired Scopely for $5 billion. That's more of a, you know, gaming company, but, you know, gaming sports game is kind of becoming very, very intermingled. So they are very active. They have probably acquired stakes in all these bigger gaming and sports companies at this point. So they have a full thesis, and they just came up, you know, launching the SRJ sports investment that has, they don't talk about the amount of money that is available, but backed by PIF, you can just understand the quantum that they can bring to the market. So that's the big announcement that became end of last year. You see, you know, TXV raising a good chunk of money in Q3. Then you saw Redbird announcing $2.3 billion raise. And then, you know, a lot of other players. So there is a big money coming into the space. And from a, you know, wealth management, you know, high individual backing standpoint, I think there are a lot of these platforms who are very acquisitive. They obviously are looking for bigger bets. I mean, I also heard from people that A-Rod is bringing in his own private equity fund, which will have a lot of capital to deploy. And, you know, I think some of these athlete turned investors and backers, I think they have a great insights about the market and where the momentum is, because they have been part of it for much longer than anyone else has been, as they have lived through it. So I think some of those things are very interesting.
Yeah, the athlete component's interesting. We've brought in some, and it's all private so far, at least publicly, but a handful of pro athletes into ours, and they do offer a lot of great insight, and there's a lot more value beyond just having them as an investor in your fund, but also, like, you can bake them into a lot of things, and they give great insights, and it's awesome seeing that even a little bit ourselves. And then also, internally, just even sports tech as it matures, we worked alongside a professional team, one of the four major ones in the US, and a gentleman that has been on the era, actually in the defense industry for a while, and we developed the whole scoring system for sports tech companies. So it's really cool to see the sophistication of, like, us, the pro league team, and this gentleman that's been in the defense industry and has, you know, he has a sports background a little bit too, but, like, to craft that, you know, basically this scoring system, it's just cool to see how far it's come, because they were even, some of the talking was how a lot of sports technologies or even some of the bigger companies actually came from the military or the defense industry. But now it's even starting where some of these technologies are starting in sports or being, you know, testing product market fit in sports and then going beyond. And so as sports is now catching up, the innovate, it's really interesting time. So yeah, I'm glad we touched on the full wealth scope.
No, and absolutely. And kind of you, I think you have a direct access to all these athletes in a way. I've seen you hang out with a lot of them. So you probably know this better than I do, but I think the way you guys are looking at the space, bringing in some of these, you know, sports personalities, whether it's open in the public or, you know, just in the background, I think is very, very interesting because they not only bring the perspective, but also bring in a lot of avenues to really go out and enable those doors for people operating in the space, which they probably wouldn't have that easily accessible.
Correct. Yeah. They're, people are big fans of them also. So they have a lot better networks and relationships than they even realize. So the whole athlete movement is interesting. Sort of something else I want to touch on here is from a geography standpoint. I don't know if you looked at this at all or if it's in the report, but what did the funding look like, if you have anything around the globe? And I don't know if you went that far on this one, but I'm just curious if there were certain regions that had more capital or M&A or financing compared to other places.
I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, and probably I can have those to you by my team, but US has always been the most active place. I think the capital access in the US markets is perhaps the biggest. And you talk about companies across the globe. I think US investors are very open investing across the globe. A lot of, you know, these startups coming from some of the very, very innovative tech regions like Israel and others, they have been heavily invested through the US capital markets, primarily getting money from US investors. So US has always been very active in terms of where the money is coming from. I think Europe comes next, and now with PIF and some of these other, you know, Middle East and Asia focused investors, they have been looking globally for deals. So I think we will see a growing presence from these people. So while as of now, it's more predominantly US investor centric market, I think it's going to evolve and we'll see a lot more international players coming in and with some of these sovereign wealth money coming in, and that will be interesting to see.
Yeah, and it'll open up a lot of areas. Even India, if you look at it, huge population, very underdeveloped. So it's cool because you can take some of the tech or even infrastructure that has worked in the US or Europe or wherever and bring it there and create a ton of value, which is upside for everyone in the industry. Mahout, overall, amazing. This was awesome. So many good insights. I mean, I can't wait to re-listen to this myself a few times to make sure I gathered everything out of it. But closing out, you know, where can we learn more about DrakeStar? Where can we get the report if people haven't, you know, seen it or gotten a chance to look at it? And then also, you know, where can they reach out to you or find more information?
No, thanks for saying that. And I think our website, www.drakestar.com, is where you can find everything that we have done in the segment, from our deals to our industry research. You can reach me on my email. This is mohit.parikh@drakestar.com. And I'm semi-active on LinkedIn, so you can find me there too under my handle. And from a report standpoint, it gets covered by a lot of publications. So either you will come across those or you can just go to our website or just send me a holler and we will share that report with you guys.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I think this is going to become a yearly thing. So buckle in and hopefully each year we're like, man, I can't believe that we're even higher this year. Last year was 37. This year's 45. It's going to be fun. So it was a good, I'm going to call it a first one. So yeah, that was fun.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and you know, having this thoughtful conversation. Big fan of your coverage of the market and the insights you bring in on a day-to-day basis and the investment activity that you guys have. So look forward to some of more exciting things coming from you guys and continue to chat about the market. And, I hope I get proven right this year again with the market momentum being even higher. And I think we'll see a lot more improvements in the in the funding stages, which has been a little bit of a, you know, a mixed market. But there's a lot of money that is available for interesting companies to pick up. So
looking I appreciate forward to it. Yeah. Well, first off, I appreciate it and I agree. So let's have a great rest of the 24 and we'll run it back.